We've been looking at a section in Matthew's gospel over these weeks, and we've been thinking about responses, the responses that people have to the Lord Jesus. And we're going to read Matthew 11 from verse 25. It's on page 977 in the Church Bible. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Please keep your Bible open at that passage, and I'll pray briefly. Our Father in heaven, we need the help now of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that caused your word to be written down, the same Spirit who helps us understand that word. Please give us understanding. Change us. In Jesus' name, amen. During our summer holiday, when we were at the beach, one of the times in the day that I did not look forward to was the walk home. It wasn't far, but after a day playing on the beach with the boys and with Tricia, it was uphill. And I'd end up carrying two chairs, a windbreak, you know, the big blue IKEA bags, one of them filled with beach toys, and sometimes the remains of the food bag. It felt more like an expedition on Everest than a walk back from the beach. And of course, at the steepest, toughest part of the climb, one of the boys would say, "Daddy, I'm too tired, I can't go on." So I'd have to heave one of them on my shoulders and trudge up the hill. It was tiring. I'm sure you're familiar with weariness. Yes, physical weariness, but also emotional, relational, mental, spiritual weariness. That feeling of weariness kind of deep down in our bones that lots of us had either towards the end of lockdown or coming out of lockdown, or even the sense that the word lockdown gives you. Weariness. We need rest. After a long day, we need sleep. At the end of the week, we need some time off. Holidays are great. We get to switch off. But today I want to talk to you about another kind of rest. A rest all of us need, a rest all of us were created to enjoy. The rest that the Lord Jesus calls rest for our souls. And if you're feeling this morning what I can only describe as a heaviness of heart, that weariness, the Lord Jesus has some brilliant news. What are our souls? Well, the Bible would say our souls are the unseen part of us that make us us. The Bible says the eternal bit of us. And Jesus says in verse 29, that everyone needs rest for their souls and will be restless as humans until we find it. Now, put really simply, rest for our souls is a right relationship with God that we were created for, but that sin has ruined. How can we find rest for our souls? Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Here's how the Lord Jesus says we can have rest for our souls today. He says, first of all, there's a command to obey. Verse 28, Jesus says, come, come. Sometimes you hear the verse, and it's often presented to us like a really warm invitation. Do you know something? It's actually a command of the Lord Jesus. It's the same word there that when the first disciples are fishing by the Sea of Galilee and Jesus says, come. It's not an RSVP to a child's birthday party, but we've got something else on that day. It's a command. It wasn't a request. Jesus speaks with authority, God's authority. And when he says, come, we're supposed to go. There's a parable Jesus told about a king who was having he'd organized a wedding reception for his son. And he sent his servants out to gather in the guests. And they were like, nah. When the king issues a command, it's not a request. It's not an RSVP. It's not, well, maybe. We need to drop what we're doing and go. The king wasn't inviting, he was telling. And the king was furious when people ignored his request. And later on, we're told that he sent his soldiers to punish those who refused to obey. Now, why draw your attention to that? To refuse to obey the command of the Lord Jesus, any command, is sin. It's to ignore God, the God who is saying to us today, I can give you the rest for your soul that you're looking for. And what you're saying is, I know better. It's a really simple command, isn't it? I know that as a pastor, you know, there's a danger that I can overcomplicate things from time to time. There's nothing difficult about this. My boys know when they are to come. The command is personal, isn't it? Jesus says, come to me. Not to other people, not. He's calling us, you and I personally, to come to him. He says rest is found in a relationship with him. It's easy to lose sight of the personal nature of the Lord Jesus. Often Christianity is kind of pictured as a relationship with a set of rules, or with a concept, or a philosophy, or a moral code. But that is not Christianity. And we will never have rest for our souls until we realize that Christianity is a relationship with a loving, living, risen forever Lord Jesus who says, come. He doesn't drive us away. He's not harsh with us. In fact, one of his favorite words is come. Simple, it's personal. It's for every one of us. We all need to come. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Could anyone possibly not be in the category at some point of being weary and burdened? I don't think so. Back in verse 7 of this chapter, we're told that Jesus is talking to the crowds. He's talking both to his disciples, people who know him pretty well, and those who may have just turned up that day. It's for all people, this command. Whatever our age, background, place of birth, education, bank balance, whether we know lots about Jesus or little, the command is the same, come. Why? Because all of us are weary and burdened. All of us. To be weary and burdened is the state of every single human being in our world. Now, being burdened comes in all shapes and colors and sizes. For some of us, it's physical weariness. Others, emotional and relational or spiritual. Sometimes it's a mixture of all those things. Our hearts have been broken. Relationships have broken down. People have betrayed us that we thought they liked us and loved us. Maybe it's a parent with Alzheimer's. Maybe it's something that you can't switch off about in the middle of the night and it's running through your brain. The Bible tells us that all of that is a consequence of living in a world that is out of harmony with its creator. Now, I think that the Lord Jesus specifically here is talking about the weariness, the burden of sin. And sin does bring about weariness. By refusing to live God's way, we feel weariness in ourselves as we look at society and our lives and we see chaos and disharmony. And it's all because our world lives out of sync with its creator. We can feel despair when we think nothing will change. We can feel burdened by anxiety. We can think ahead into the future and think, well, there's just no hope. That makes the command to come needed by all of us. All of us. And notice this, it's a loving command. Being told to come by the Lord Jesus is not something that I or anyone else deserve. Rebels don't deserve rest from God. People who have lived their lives saying, nah, I don't need that invitation, they don't deserve rest. But the Lord Jesus calls weary and burdened and brokenhearted people like me, like us, to come and find rest, and he loves to give it. This is not a command that we move on from. It's a command to obey again and again and again. We're going to need rest this morning. We're going to need rest this afternoon. We're going to need rest this evening and tomorrow and the day after that and the week after that and the month after that. Guess what we're supposed to keep doing? Come. And Jesus gives us rest. It's a move away from relying on ourselves, our own abilities, whatever we think will give us rest, and trusting that Jesus will give us rest. It's a command to obey. It's also a promise to trust. Verse 28 again. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. See, the Lord Jesus promises that as we come to him, then he'll dish out the rest. He'll give us exactly what we need. He doesn't say, come to me, I'll send you away to do something to find rest. He doesn't say, I'll send you to someone else to find rest. He doesn't say rest could be found in a Caribbean island or an alpine clinic or a Buddhist monastery on the side of a mountain. He says, come to me and I personally will give you rest for your souls. Verse 27 says, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. I know that's a little kind of complicated sentence to get our heads around. But if rest is a relationship with God, and Jesus reveals his Father in heaven, Jesus gives us the relationship, the rest that we need. Only Jesus. I was in Glasgow this week, and I saw something I hadn't seen in years. I walked by a shop that had a half-day closing. Okay, now, if you're of a certain generation, you'll remember that. Okay, younger folks, that basically means that for some reason, at some point on a day of the week, they just shut at lunchtime. It seems odd, especially if you've been brought up in London. You're like, that happens? There are still some parts of the country that have a half-day closing, apparently. The Lord Jesus doesn't have half-day closing. It's not that he says, I'll give you rest on a Sunday and no other day. He says, if you come, I'll give you rest. Now, like the offer to come, rest is not something that I deserve. I deserve restlessness because of my sin, because of my living apart from God and away from God. But the Lord Jesus is gracious. You see, he took the wailing and suffering and punishment of sin that I deserve. He took the restless torment of hell upon himself to give rest to weary and burdened souls. He wins for us the rest of forgiveness from God, the rest of being right with God, the rest of having no fear of what will happen to us on the day that we die. The rest of being in a relationship with God that we need, the rest of trusting that God will provide all that we need for all that we face. The promise Jesus gives of rest for our souls was won for us at the cross. And we have security that we are God's dearly loved children. And he'll give us rest. No one else has that rest on offer. Keeping religious rules can't bring that rest. In fact, it only tires us out. I think we've seen again and again that people who thought, well, if I only get to the top of my game, whether it's money or work or whatever it is, even at the Olympics, we saw people come out of retirement because they thought, if I just win another medal, I'll get rest. And it just didn't work. There was no rest. How tired you might be this morning. How burdened to think that you could find rest. And you've never found it. Jesus says, come to him, and he promises he'll give you rest for your souls. I love double acts, fish and chips, salt and vinegar, cheeseburgers and chips, pizzas and chips, kebabs and chips, all great double acts in my mind. The command to come and the promise of rest are a great double act. Only as we come and keep coming will we find the rest that we need. There's a command to obey, a promise to trust. Finally, where is it? There's a rest to enjoy. Let me read verse 29 again. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In case you're in any doubt this morning, rest for your souls is found and abandoning any confidence that we have ourselves in finding rest and putting it completely on the Lord Jesus Christ. What he has done, what he is doing, what he promises that he will do. Now, what is not being promised here is early retirement, okay? That's not what's being promised, an easy life. But what's been promised that when we face the burdens and weightiness of life, then we'll be able to say in our souls, hey, it is well, because Jesus has given me rest. But here's something you may find surprising. Rest is found and enjoyed as we put ourselves under the authority of the Lord Jesus. You might have heard that word, take my yoke upon you. Well, Jesus is not talking about eggs there. All right? It's nothing to do with eggs. And a yoke is like a wooden bar you put on an ox so that it will plow your fields. It looks something like that. See, if you can see the picture, there's a wooden bar across the cows. It helps the farmer to plow the field. It gives control. The ox are submitting to the farmer. Most of us try to get rid of the bar, any bar that brings authority. School, teachers, parents. But a disciple of the Lord Jesus says, I'm going to live under your yoke, under your authority. Jesus, I'm a cow and you're the farmer. If you get what I mean. But that's the idea. Now, if we're going to have someone else in charge rather than us, they better be good, right? Because lots of us have lived under horrible authority. I know there's people here who have lived under abusive fathers and husbands or partners. Maybe we've been in a church where the pastor, like me, has bullied people or the other leaders have. Maybe the idea of any authority scares us. But what are we told about the Lord Jesus? He says, take my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. He doesn't get angry quickly. He's full of kindness. He's humble. That means he puts others before himself. We see that at the cross where he dies not for his own sins, but for ours. This is Jesus who says, let me be in charge. He's not mean. He's not going to abuse you. He doesn't abuse his power and authority. Being gentle and humble is at the very center of his being. And any bar that he might put on us, any authority he says, well, we're told it's easy and the burden is light. Perhaps think of it like this. When does a train run most freely? On the tracks or off the tracks? On the tracks. And what we're being told here is that we will find life lighter, I think, and the burden less if we're running on the tracks that Jesus sets under his authority. Rest for our souls will be found as we submit to the gentle, humble rule of the Lord Jesus. Now that's going to be found in actively following him, because we learn throughout the rest of the New Testament that he's got good works that he's prepared in advance for us to do. It's actively following. As I said, it's not early retirement. It's not sitting in the house. It's not lying in a hammock in a Caribbean beach. The stuff that he's got for us to do, but he says that yoke will be light and the burden will be easy. And as we wait for the Lord Jesus to appear, every snippet of rest that he gives us is just a foretaste of the complete rest of heaven that awaits us. Now, what are we to do today? Well, look at verse 25. At that time, the Lord Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. This might be utterly boring for you, but the Ryder Cup's on at the moment. That's a golf tournament. I love to watch it. I've spent ages watching it over the last few days. The greatest golfer of all time was a guy called Jack Nicklaus, much better than Tiger Woods. He's an old guy now. But when he was at the top of his game, winning tournament after tournament, do you know that once a year, he would go to a local golf club and say to the guy who worked there, give me a golf lesson. Pretend that I'd never swung a club before in my life. Pretend I'm a rank beginner and show me how to play golf. Why? Because he knew that he had always things to learn, that he never moved on from what he termed the basics. That's something like what the Lord Jesus is talking about in these verses. If we want rest for our souls, we come and never leave Jesus. And as we come and never leave, we find rest. And what we find is that his burden is light and his yoke is easy. And we'll find that's how we've been created to live. But if we think we're wise and we're learned, and we don't have that attitude like Jack Nicklaus, like, what's this local guy going to teach me? I'm Jack Nicklaus. We'll never get the rest that Jesus wants to give us. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, we're so glad you're here. If you want rest for your souls, go to Jesus. Ask him for it. Say, Lord Jesus, I've been living my own way, and now I'm tired, and I'm burdened, and I'm weary, and I want rest. Forgive my sins today. And what you'll find is that you'll do that. And you'll get rest for your soul. Because the Lord Jesus is worth following today. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, thank you for these words. Help us to obey this command to come to Jesus and never leave. I pray for those, especially this morning, feeling weary and burdened, that he would give them rest. Father, thank you that he is gentle and humble, that his burden is not overly taxing. He's not trying to crush us, but he loves us and cares for us. Would we trust that promise and keep coming to him for rest? In Jesus' name, amen.